Good morning. Harold Kushner, in his book, When All You Have Ever Wanted Isn't Enough, told the story of a young man who called him very early in the morning one weekend. The young man insisted that he needed to talk to Kushner right away. Before breakfast, the young man showed up at his house. When he was asked what could be done for him, his answer was this: 2 weeks ago, for the first time in my life, I went to the funeral of a man my own age. I didn't know him well, but we worked together, talked to each other from time to time, and even had kids about the same age. He died suddenly over the weekend. A bunch of us went to the funeral, and each of us was thinking, it could have easily been me. That was 2 weeks ago. They have already replaced him at the office. I hear his wife's moving out of state to live with her parents. 2 weeks ago, he was working 50 feet away from me, and now it is as if he has never existed. It's like a rock falling into a pool of water. For a few seconds, it makes ripples in the water, and then the water is the same as it was before. But the rock isn't there anymore. I have hardly slept at all since then. I can't stop thinking that it could happen to me, that one day it will happen to me, and a few days later, I will be forgotten as if I never lived. Shouldn't a man's life be more than that? That fellow was asking some of the questions of life. He was looking for some answers to those questions. In that way, he's similar to the main character of the story that we're going to read about in Luke chapter 18. Beginning in verse 18, we read, "And a ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth.' When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, looking at him with sadness, said, 'How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' Those who heard it said, 'Then who can be saved?' But he said, 'What is impossible with man is possible with God.'" That great story is told, of course, in Matthew, Mark, and here in Luke. And when you put the accounts together, there are really three questions that are raised and then answered by the Lord. We're really not prepared to live until we've answered those three questions. All of them grab our attention. In the first place, a man raises the question, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Mark says that this man ran to Jesus with a sense of urgency and knelt before him with a tone of humility to ask his question. It was something that was strongly on his mind. He desired deeply to have the answer. How can I have eternal life? I notice that Luke uses three phrases interchangeably. He mentions eternal life in verse 18. He mentions entering the kingdom of God in verse 24, and then he mentions being saved in verse 26. You see, having eternal life, being saved, and entering the kingdom are all talking about the same things. But the question is, how can I have that? Jesus answered his question by first raising a question. Why do you call me good? There are some people who have tried to take that as if Jesus was suggesting, I am not really good myself and am not really God's son. That's not what he means. What the Lord is saying to him is more in the nature of, do you realize what you're saying to me? Do you realize that there's none good but God, and you just address me as good teacher? Are you ready to state your faith that I am deity, that I am God's son? It was a challenge to the depth and the extent of this man's faith. And then Jesus says to the young man, you know the commandments. A lot of times we get to thinking that we need some answers that is newer and more impressive than what the Word of God has stated. But the Lord just pointed this man back to what the Scripture already said. He called his attention to the commandments under which he lived. He mentions five of these commandments, and all of them have to do with outward actions about how you treat other people around you. He says to the young man, if you notice, don't commit adultery. Don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother. It seems as though the Lord deals with those outward commands on purpose in his discussion with this young man. The one that he leaves out is do not covet. And that was the one which would really have searched the young man's inner heart the most. Mark adds, do not defraud anybody. And Matthew adds, love your neighbor as yourself. And both of them are trying to say to the young man, remember that these commandments of God have an inner demand in a person's life too. Remember that we are not just talking about here, not going out, and not slaying somebody, murdering some innocent victim. What we're talking about is not hating somebody on the inside. What we're talking about is not only not committing adultery, it is also not harboring unclean intentions in the mind. We're not just talking about not bearing false witness in the sense of telling lies or swearing lies. We're talking about saying things that are hurtful to other people. The New Testament says that those commands of God under the Old Covenant were intended to be a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to help us see the need that we have for forgiveness. These commandments shut us up in disobedience so that we are dependent upon God to set us free. The way Jesus answered this young man's question prepares us for the time in the book of Acts when someone will ask, what must I do to be saved? And the answer will be given to someone who recognizes his guilt that he should believe in the Lord Jesus with all of his heart, and then that he should repent and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This story helps set the stage for that kind of discussion later. There is the first question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I've recognized God's goodness, my need, and then to submit to what the Lord requires me to do. The second question then comes up. Matthew tells us that the young man says, all of these have I kept from my youth. What do I still lack? There is the second question. What am I still lacking? Now this fellow had the things that most people think will make them happy. We learn from the other accounts that he was a young man. How much people would give to be able to maintain youth. Youth is so much celebrated in our society that people will do almost anything to hang on to it. This man was young. This young man was also wealthy. Mark says that he had great riches and many possessions. He was rich. And again, look at all the trouble people are willing to go to get possessions and to feel like they're financially secure. He's not only young and rich, but he's also a ruler. He was in a position of prominence. He was well known, respected, and had some amount of power. Why, if you could be young and rich and powerful, wouldn't that be nearly enough to just make a person happy from then on? Wouldn't that give the satisfaction and the fulfillment and the completeness to life that all of us are looking for? This young man's question reveals the lie of the idea that by having physical vitality, material possessions, and social prominence, a human being is guaranteed happiness. It is just not so. This young man knows that something is lacking. Maybe he realized that inwardly he hadn't been as successful at keeping these commands as he had outwardly. I don't know. But he knows something is missing or the question would not have been raised. Look at Jesus' answers to it. You are lacking one thing. The Lord was good at calling attention back to one thing. At the house of Mary and Martha, he told them that one thing is needful. When he told the stories of the hidden treasure in the field and the pearl of great price, he talked about how somebody would joyfully sell everything to possess that one thing that was more important than anything else. And so he says to this young man, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. There have been all kinds of puzzles over how to take that statement. I believe what is happening here is that Jesus is calling this young man to follow him and to become a full-time disciple. When the disciples are called back in Luke chapter 5 to follow him and let him make them fishers of men, the Bible says they left everything and followed him. Later on in Luke 5:27-28, he went to where Levi was collecting taxes and said to him, follow me, and immediately left everything and followed him. This young man is being given the opportunity to let go of what has been hindering him and to follow Jesus as a devoted disciple. That's the opportunity that is set before him. If you haven't found what you're looking for in your youth and in your wealth and your power, let go of that and follow me. What Jesus is saying to the young man is that when you have been trying and you still find yourself unsatisfied, it is a problem of treasure. The problem is where your real values lie. In verse 22, he says to have treasure in heaven. Someone has written that your treasure is your magnet. Your life will go in the direction of your treasure. You see the young man's plight then, don't you? when he is asking, how can I inherit eternal life outwardly? But when his heart is directed toward treasure, which is here on earth, he is going to be unhappy. He's going to be unsatisfied and incomplete. Treasure in heaven means to have as the things that are most precious to you, things that the rust can't consume, things that moss can't eat up, things that thieves can't carry off. There are things that we can keep and take with us, and there are things that we can't. Real treasures need to be treasures that are eternal. That was the challenge to the young man. The Bible says that when the young man heard these things, he became very sad. He went away sorrowful because he had great possession. He was not willing to make the inconvenient choice that was laid before him here. The first question is, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? The second question is, what do I still lack? The third question comes up in Luke 18:26, then who can be saved? A common Jewish conception in those days was that wealth was a sign of God's approval. If God had blessed you materially, then it meant that God was happy with you, that He had accepted you, and that your life was guaranteed. And here is Jesus saying to the hearers present that it is difficult for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus reassured them with one of the greatest statements of the Bible. He said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. That is the news of the gospel, friends. When it seems like hearts can't be changed and the direction of lives cannot be corrected, when it seems like no one can let go of what's here for the sake of God who is there, just remember, what's impossible with men is possible with God. He can change hearts. He can save people. He can bring people to heaven. He can give us treasures there. This is what the gospel says. Anybody can be saved if he will. When Jesus died on the cross, among the first people to be impressed were people who were powerful and wealthy. The centurion in charge that day said, truly, this man is the Son of God. The one who took his body to burial was Joseph of Arimathea, who was a man of honorable estate, a counselor, someone who had wealth. It is possible for God to change hearts. It is possible for people to ask, what must I do to be saved? And then to hear the requirements of the gospel and to be willing to submit to those things and thus be saved. That is a wonderful truth that this passage lays down. Questions of life have answers. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What am I still lacking? Who then can be saved? We hope you will answer those questions in your mind. And remember, the Lord is the answer. Don't let anything keep you from following Him. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.